Welcome to the Higher Balance Expansion Module, Akashic Records, A Dummy, and You, Disc 1 of 2.
I thought this was a phenomenal, interesting thing. I'm always looking for stuff to help you reach a higher state of consciousness or to understand about a higher state of consciousness. And the problem with understanding a higher state of consciousness is that most people wouldn't know it if it slapped them in the face. So by finding different angles to explain constantly the same thing from different viewpoints, it sinks in more and more and more. If you heard this the first time, it may not mean nothing to you. But when you hear this now, even though you've never heard it explained this way, from all your other knowledge, you're going to go, yeah, that connects. One of the biggest things I've always said was, in order to reach enlightenment, you must be consistent with your knowledge. You must consistently think about it to remain aware of this knowledge in your mind. And that when you're not consistently thinking about it, when you let the little things in life occupy all of your mental time, you become a red cell. You become a product of the natural world, meaning not the spiritual world or the spiritual consciousness. By thinking about all of these little intricate things, not that you have to think about every little detail, but just be aware, constantly aware. It becomes a state of mind. You don't think about it anymore. Just like any other habit you pick up, you don't think about it. Well, this is a very good habit that you want to start. By constantly being aware, it raises your consciousness and it makes you raise to enlightenment. But a lot of times, a lot of people have said to me, how is it that you know so much knowledge? How come it's so vast? How come you can just have something thrown at you and it's almost as if you just figure it out in seconds, as if you've always known it, but yet you've never known it before? And I've told you guys that before. You can ask me a question and then all of a sudden I just have the answer. And how is it that I have that answer? And I've explained this to you. What would be the word I'm looking for?
The
Akashic Records, which is, in my opinion,
of the earth,
and then is there something beyond the earth's collective consciousness?
Solar system.
It goes on consecutively bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger till you get to the total consciousness of Gaia, not Gaia, of the universe, God.
Which is still Akashic.
Which is still just a vaster form of Akashic that most people don't even begin to comprehend. Most spiritual enlightened people don't even begin to comprehend it. But for the most part, there is a collective source of energy. And I believe this is one of the missing links of all spiritual teachings. And what I mean by that is that teachings generally give you basic concepts. They say, do this, do this, do this. And, you know, eventually you might get there, etc., etc. And most of people don't. They don't. I believe that if one can remove themselves from themselves, you can open your mind to the Akashic Records, to this ocean of knowledge, this ocean of awareness that becomes you. But you have to learn to let your mind be fluid. You need to not let the brain dominate. And it's very interesting that I come across little bits and pieces when I read something or I hear something, and I know that these people have found a way to fool their brain to get this incoming information from somewheres. And they've tapped it. They just don't really know what the hell it is or where it's coming from or how or why. So I'm going to read this to you, and it's very interesting, okay? You know what a ventriloquist is, right? With the little dummies, and they put it up. Well, let me tell you, these people who have these little dummies, okay, they build a relationship with these dummies, okay? I mean, they really do. And it's not really that they think of it as a toy. It's a way of them letting out a multiple personality in aspect, which I've taught you guys about before, about Sybil and multiple personalities and how the brain can divide different personalities completely, 100%, that will exist inside your consciousness. The limits of the brain are beyond what most people can even understand. So this goes a step further, though. When I was quite a young child, my father, a comedy writer, invited me to go with him to deliver a script to the ventriloquist Edgar Bergen. Has anybody ever heard of Edgar Bergen? I vaguely remember him. You guys probably from your generation wouldn't. And he's beyond my generation. I just happen to know a lot of stuff. And he was one of the first people who had a dummy, who had this like little black top hat, and he put him in this like little tuxedo type suit, and he was this old guy, and he'd be, and they'd talk and make jokes and stuff, and the dummy would tell him he's stupid and everything, okay? And they were very famous, very, very, very famous a long time ago. And it says on here, let's see, to go with him to deliver a script to the ventriloquist Edgar Bergen, whose weekly radio show he was writing at that time. Bergen's chief dummy, Charlie McCarthy, was one of the best-loved characters in radio comedy and was featured in many movies as well. He was also my very dear friend, and when he was sitting at Bergen's knee, he would have many sprightly and madcap conversations. When Dad and I entered the open door of Bergen's hotel room, we found him sitting on a bed with his back to us, talking very intently to Charlie and then listening with evident wonder and astonishment to Charlie's answers. Tell me what I'm talking about here. Are you following me so far? So this guy didn't know that his scriptwriter walked in with his son, and the door was kind of open already, and he just kind of quietly went in there, and in aspect, he had his back to him, and he was talking to his dummy inside this room by himself, not even aware that these guys were there. And it wasn't about comedy. It was a serious conversation he's having with his fucking dummy. Unlike in the radio programs, there was no flippancy here, no in and on the joke sarcasm. Indeed, one got the impression that Bergen was the student, while Charlie was quite clearly the teacher, Charlie meaning the dummy, the wood dummy talking to him. What are they doing? I silently mouthed at my father. Just rehearsing, he mouthed back. But as we listened to what Bergen and Charlie were saying, we soon realized that this was no rehearsal for any radio program we ever knew about. For Bergen was asking his dummy ultimate questions like, what is the meaning of life? What is the nature of love? Is there any truth to be found? And Charlie was answering with the wisdom of millennia. It was as if all the great thinkers of all times and places were compressed inside his little wooden head, and were pouring out their distilled knowings through his little clacking jaws. Bergen would get so excited by these remarkable answers that he would ask still more ultimate questions. But Charlie, can the mind be separate from the brain? Who created the universe and how? Can we really ever know anything? Charlie would continue to answer in his luminous way, pouring out pungent, beautiful, crafted statements of deep wisdom. This rascally-faced little dummy dressed in a tuxedo was expounding the kind of knowing that could have come only from a lifetime of intensive study, observation, and interaction with equally high beings. After several minutes of listening spellbound to his wooden Socrates, my father remembered his theological position as an agnostic Baptist and coughed. Bergen looked up, turned beet red, and stammered a greeting. "Hello, Jack. Hi, Gene. I see you caught us." "Yeah, Ed," my father said. "What in the world were you rehearsing? I sure didn't write that stuff." "No rehearsal, Jack. I was talking to Charlie. He's the wisest person I know." "But Ed," my father expostulated, "that's your voice and your mind coming out of that cockeyed block of wood." "Yes, Jack. I suppose it is," Bergen answered quietly. But then he added with great poignancy, "And yet when he answers me, I have no idea where it's coming from or what he's going to say next. It's so much more than I know." Those words of Bergen changed my life, for I suddenly knew that we contain so much more than we think we do. In fact, it would seem that in an ordinary waking reality, we live on the shelf in the attic of ourselves, leaving the other floors relatively uninhibited and the basement locked, except when it occasionally explodes. I also knew that I had no other choice but to pursue a path and a career that would discover ways to tap into so much more of deep knowledge that we all carry in the many lives of reality and nested gnosis within ourselves. Isn't that very intriguing?
Yeah.
I find that very fascinating as an intellectual person, a spiritual teacher. I would imagine that you guys would be just as moved by that. I would say that was probably maybe the 1920s to the 1940s, somewhere in there. Which is really amazing because they really hadn't brought out stuff like channeling, or nobody really knew about the Akashic Records. And here, some way, the forces of nature found a way to convey this information through this person, even though he had to speak in the second self, to give himself this knowledge.